Here we go. 917, Mark Klein hanging out with you. You've heard me mention this before for years now. And we do ticket giveaways for this thing every year. We're going to stay pretty consistent with that today. I'm looking forward to sharing with you an incredible story about a band, the world's largest 70-plus piece rock band. They play once a year. Long Island's finest, and some musicians from out of state, if I'm not mistaken, and we're going to get to that in a second. I need to introduce you all to the founder and creator of this project from 38 plus years ago when this thing began. He plays saxophone currently with the Stanton Anderson Band. He did 30 years with the Jim Small Band. He's a retired music teacher after 21 years here on Long Island, and he's an all-around good guy. In the studio with me right now, the founder and creator of The Paper Bag, Mr. Mike Guido. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing very well.
Welcome to the Friday Morning Blues Warehouse. It's good to have you in here with me.
Thank you very much.
You've got some massive history, and you're a tremendous contributor to the live music scene here on Long Island on so many levels. I want to start with some history with you, if I can. Let's talk about, I don't know, let's start real quick with like elementary school and junior high days when you first started getting introduced to the horn. You play the whole horn family, don't you?
I was a middle school band teacher for 21 years. I play everything they play.
But let's rewind. Let's talk about when you were at that age, when you were a student.
I started playing the clarinet when I was 8 years old. My teacher was Mr. Clinton.
You remember your teacher?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What was the influence to play the horn at that early age? Anybody in your family played back in those days?
No, nobody played. I don't remember why. I played the recorder. We called it a tonette then.
Sure, sure.
And I was good at that. I played the tonette in my school show when I was in third grade. It was my first public performance. I was dressed as a mouse. It's what you did. You went to summer band and then school band.
Do you have any pictures of that uniform, that outfit?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
You know, because what's funny is, as everybody knows, especially in this whole Facebook thing that we're all glued to, this great social networking tool we love to use, Thursdays being Throwback Thursday, once in a while I see you posting a picture of yourself from, I don't know, a few decades ago, clean shaven, short hair, you put up a few.
You know.
Any chance you're digging up that picture and sharing that with everybody? Oh, you're going to share it with me right now.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very cool, man.
And notice what's in the picture to my left, up on the stage.
It's a little dark. I'm having trouble making it out.
There's a paper bag in there.
Oh, my God. There's a paper bag in there. That's really funny, man. That's interesting that happens to be there. Because obviously that paper bag is in there way before the thought of starting a paper bag project ever came to mind. Am I right?
I would say yes. That's
an
accurate statement, yes.
let's fast forward to, I guess, 38 years ago, man. Let's talk about when this paper bag project, this massive, larger-than-life project you started 38 years ago. How did you get this idea, and how many players were a part of it in the first couple of years?
It was initially it wasn't an idea to do a lifelong show. I used to do sound at a festival upstate called the People's Picnic every year. It was on private land near Whitehall, New York, and I was always in a band, and my band played. And then one year we went to the festival, and I wasn't in a band. But I still wanted to play, so I got the idea. I was the head sound engineer for the festival. So I got the idea that on the last night, I'd have everybody in my band. Seems like a good idea.
How many piece band was it at the time?
It was 18 guys.
Okay.
You know, and we all got up there, and we played for about an hour, just a couple of songs, and we used this music called The Paper Bag, which was from a band I was in the early 70s called the Phil Gagliano Band. Named after the baseball player, which is another story.
Okay.
But and we 18 guys went up there. We played for about an hour, and we had so much fun that a month later, I was also the sound engineer at the Silver Dollar Saloon in Bayshore at the time. So a month later, we did it again at the Silver Dollar, and then once a year since then. So that was 1979.
1979. I got to write that down.
And so we did two the first year. We've done one every year since. And it's grown all by itself. I don't mess with it. The paper bag is like a pyramid on its point. It's a big, huge, heavy thing, but it's balanced very precariously. And I'm afraid if I touch it, it'll fall down.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to mess with it. It ain't broke. Don't fix
it. So I allow it to grow and shrink and evolve on its own level.
So in 79, when this thing started, let's talk about after the first two or three years. You had 18 guys the first year?
18 the first year.
I mean, you have like over 80 now, well over 80 today.
Yeah, this year, as of right now today, we have 70, exactly 70 musicians.
Oh, there's 70 on the button.
70 on the button. I can give you a little rundown here. We have...
We don't read all 70 guys.
No. We have, of course, me. I'm our founder. There's a Tony Rome and his Cheese Calzones.
Oh, sure.
Which are some vocalists. There are also 14 vocalists, 16 guitars, 5 keyboards, 7 horn players, a harmonica section, 4 guys, 5 bass players, and 10 percussionists. That's our band.
Between drums and actual percussion.
Well, we just have a huge drumizer with everything, including kitchen sinks.
You got a few drum kits on the stage. A
couple of drum kits, congas, bongos,
two percussion shakers. Stations.
There's usually about then all kinds of people show up on the drum riser, you know, banging on stuff. There's usually a dozen or so people up there playing drums at any given time.
I love the fact that the Finkelstein brothers get involved in this thing.
Awesome players.
Pete Lazos from Pete Mazio and the Hit Squad.
That's correct.
Just to name a few. I mean, it's one of the best all-star lineups you're ever going to see.
We have good players.
To put it very mildly, I have to say. And this thing has really grown and evolved into this massive, it's like the biggest night of the year for music at Mulcahy's. And zero advertising, and it's their busiest night of the year. You have like 1,400 plus people in there every year.
Yeah, we crowd them in.
With not a dime of advertising.
Well, there are 300 people between the band, their wives or spouses, the crew.
People that are associated with
it. Yeah, they all get their shirts. They're all part of the band crew. So if we have those 300 people and two friends of theirs, and then two friends of theirs, we're done.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, we don't need the general public.
That's all it takes. What kind of a beer bar, a beer bill?
Well, the paper bag does buy beer for the band. And we used to drink 80 or 90 cases on stage during the performance.
We're 6-hour performance.
Yeah, we're down to between 40, 50 cases now.
it's such a, you know, for me, I'm like a kid in a candy shop at this thing every year because all of these great musicians, I go to the rehearsal. I've been an honorary member for, I think this is my 6th year, if I'm not mistaken.
I can look up your permanent record here.
You have my permanent record?
I have your permanent record, exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, is it 5 years, is it 6 years? How many years have I been an honorary member of this thing?
Mark Klein, 6 years, Mark
This is my 6th year.
That's right. You're on the Group W bench.
I'm on the Group W bench. Do you want to share with everybody what that means?
Well, it's from Alice's Restaurant.
Alice's Restaurant.
When Arlo Guthrie was being inducted, well, he was at the induction center for the Army, and they told him to go over onto the Group W bench with the mother killers and the father rapers. So that's where you reside.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mark.
It's a place of honor.
it really is, in all sincerity, it really is. You have a different theme for the paper bag every year, by the way. How do you go about working out? I mean, do you have a team of guys that you plan this thing with every year? How you're going to come up with the themes and what musicians are going to do what songs? Can you walk us through the process? Because there's so much involved in this thing behind the scenes with the planning and the preparation on the set list, which is, what, 50 songs long?
50 songs, usually.
50 songs. It starts it's usually the last Tuesday in June every year at Mulcahy's in Wantagh. 70 musicians, you work out 50 songs, 6 hours of music.
And you have non-stop music. But
non-stop. No intermissions, no breaks. And you have a different theme every year. Can you walk us through some of the process, who you work with to put the theme together every year and how the thought process works for the songs you put together every year for this thing?
Well, I have an executive board. The reason this works so well is because I have delegated very well over the years. We have an executive board, 12, 14 of us, who average almost 30 years playing in a bag. We begin meeting in January in my house. I have a room in the basement, the war room.
The war room, the infamous war room. War room.
And we meet in the war room once a month beginning January. And the themes kind of began around paper bag number 12 or 13. And it's a device. We didn't really plan it to be a device. Like, it just started to be just a silly thing to make it more fun. But what that does is that forces us to look outside of our comfort zone in songs. I have 20-something vocalists. If I ask them all, pick your favorite song, sing, the next year they pick their second favorite. And then when we have a theme, this year it's the grocery bag, Bagger's Banquet. So the songs all, not all, but most of the songs have some sort of food thing. Lady Marmalade, Strawberry Fields, themes from Italian Restaurant, Zoot Suit Riot by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
Tremendous.
So when people look for songs, Cinnamon Girl, you know, the lime and the coconut.
You literally have something for everybody.
Well, we come up with a theme. The executive board, we go through every email we got during the year, every Facebook post from customers and band members alike. We have a bunch of themes. We throw them around. We spend 2 months looking at this. And then when we come up with a theme, I ask the vocalists to pick a song they'd like to sing, because they're a little more invested in the song if they select it. And maybe they'll even learn the words, which is a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, it's, you know what, another thing that I really get a kick out of with this, especially being privy to going to the rehearsal the day before and the day of, the way you run the rehearsal, similar to the way you run the actual show, I'm guessing similar to the way you used to teach your music class.
Middle school is a great training for dealing with rock musicians.
And you've really honed in on that craft nicely, I'd have to say, Mike. The professionalism with the keeping it light, loose, and relaxed, yet a tight ship all in one. You have the ability to basically factor all of those things in the way you conduct this thing and take the reins on this thing every year and run the show. And it's a tremendous, I really get a kick out of the fact that if a musician screws up during the live show, you turn to the audience and say what?
Well, we stop the song.
If you really stop, you stop everybody.
Yeah, we don't want to pretend that we meant that to be, so we stop and I tell the audience to boo the band, which they do. And then sometimes I'll have them chant, "We paid good money for this." Then I tell them, "Hold on a second," and we drill it two or three times. You know, whatever we stumbled over, we get it right. Then the audience counts the band back in. So I turn and I say, "Okay, count the band back in," and they all give the big 1, 2, 1, and then we go right from the second chorus or wherever it was. But we don't want to make mistakes.
And as cool as it is that you play such a wide variety of artists to give everyone in the audience something they're going to like, the audience participation has always been a big thing with the show as well, which is kind of cool. I do want to talk real quickly about this year, for example. I'm holding, is this a pretty accurate list from the artists that are playing?
There you go. There's a right up-to-date list right there.
Just to name a few, I mean, from Todd Rundgren to Patti LaBelle to Steely Dan to the Beatles to Billy Joel to Joe Cocker, Percy Sledge, B.B. King, which I'm glad to see. I'm getting a body bag.
The body bag.
You do a body bag segment every year. It's like when all the big award ceremonies, they have the memoriams of who passed away that year. You do a similar thing that's called the body bag.
The body bag,
which is interesting. Neil Young, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam,
of course,
right,
yeah.
Pearl Jam's
the Raspberries, Jimi Hendrix, just to name a few. Little Feat, you do such a wide variety, and with all the singers you've got, with all these great players, you cover all of these artists in such a great fashion, and the people have such a good time at this thing. And like I said, it's Mulcahy's busiest night of the year. A lot of fun. I say we let's do a couple pairs of ticket giveaways. Let's do some ticket giveaways. Let's play a few of the musicians that play at the paper bag every year, like Tammy Wolf.
Tammy Wolf last year sang Led Zeppelin, she sang a note that started below the basement and ended up way above It's got a whole lot of love.
She's got a tremendous vocal range. That's the point, obviously, you're making. And she's one of my favorites. She comes and plays for the kids, by the way, at Stony Brook Children's Hospital with me a few times a year with Mike Flintz. You come up there a couple times a year with Al Santoriello from Cadillac Moon and Little Wilson, who we're also going to play. But we'll get back to that later. Let's do it. Let's do a couple pairs of ticket giveaways. Mike's going to answer a phone. I'm going to answer a phone. We're going to take some random winners. When the music starts, you give us a call at 631-632-6901. Now, here's the deal. A, don't call yet. Wait till the music starts. I know some of you itchy trigger finger people are trying to dial right now. Please don't. And secondly, the date on this thing is Tuesday, June 30th. Mark your calendar. Save the date. Write it down.
Take the next day off.
Tuesday, June 30th. If you can, they highly recommend you take the Wednesday off because it starts at 10 o'clock at night. And it ends right about 4 o'clock in the morning. I hate to say it, but I usually squeeze out of there around 2:30 myself because I got a half-hour drive home and I'm shot. And I only drink two or three beers all night because I want to do the right thing. And then it's soda for the second half of the night. And I got to get up early for work, unfortunately. I work for myself, so I stay as late as I can. But I usually get there on 5 or 6 and catch the rehearsal and anything I can do to help set up and any little things you might ask me to do, I'm always happy to do. So I'm so thrilled and blessed and honored to be a part of this massive project. If you just joined us, first of all, shame on you for tuning in late. Better late than never, but that's okay. We're glad to have you with us. We're talking to Mike Guido from The Paper Bag, the world's largest 70-plus piece rock band. They play once a year. You want to go to this thing? Give us a call at 631-632-6901. We'll take some random callers for Tuesday, June 30th, the world's largest band you're ever going to see play right here on Long Island. Let's give you some Tammy Wolf right now, one of those tremendous female singers performing at this thing. And here we go. You want to get that one? You need to. I got two winners. Featuring Tammy Wolf. Stanton Anderson Band, Long Island Zone, Eyes of Jade and A Heart of Stone, originally written by Scott Ross of Blue Ruin, the Stanton Anderson, with the horn section there, you heard Mike Guido. A couple of ticket winners for The Paper Bag. We're going to give away another pair or two. So if you want to go to the world's largest 70-plus piece rock band, Tuesday, June 30th, give us a call, 631-632-6901. Here's another lead singer you're going to hear at The Paper Bag. Corn Punch, oh, nice. What a great song. That was on the Long Island Blues Warehouse, of course, recorded a couple last year. Cadillac Moon, they did a reunion show with me, and not too shabby. Al Santoriello, one of the Paperbag singers you just heard, doing an original song of theirs. Hey, Mike, here's a little trivia question for you. The song they just played, Long Island Iced Tea. Turn that mic a little bit.
Yes.
When did the Long Island Iced Tea originate? Where did it originate from and what year? Any clue?
The drink?
The drink.
The OBI? The OBI?
What makes you say the OBI?
Because that's the urban legend, that it got invented at the OBI.
What year?
I don't know. I used to play in the OBI. Jim Small Band used to play every other Sunday.
You did 30 years with the Jim Small Band.
Yeah, 30 years. We played every other Sunday. One Sunday, Little Buster. One Sunday, us.
That's right.
And it's probably the 70s. I'm not sure.
1970. The drink, the famous Long Island iced tea drink, was invented by a bartender at the OBI South
Gilgo Beach area in 1970. You nailed
da-da,
it.
Da-da-da-da. What do I win?
And that drink is recognized worldwide. I could set you up with a pair of tickets to the paper bag.
Oh, good. I love the paper bag.
I'm glad to hear that. And we got to say congratulations to Mike from Corum, Ernie from Patchogue, Julie from Patchogue, Bob also from Corum, a couple of local winners. Congratulations to the paper bag. You guys are going. I'm going to set you up with those tickets. We're going to get them in the mail early next week. I'll get them out to you. I'll have my card in there with my cell, so just call me when you get them. Let me know you did get them. I don't want to hear the day before, the day after the show, oh, I never got my tickets. Please call me and let me know you did receive them. Mike has very legible handwriting, so I know I can read these addresses on top of my own handwriting for the ticket winners I took. So thank you for that. Mike Guido, let me ask you a question, man, because every year for I don't know how many years, EKO Studios, the official studio of my other show, The Blues Warehouse, where I do my webisodes that you were a part of with Stanton Anderson a few years ago.
Yes.
LIblues.com, click the webisodes link, scroll down to Stanton Anderson. In the horn section, you'll see Mike Guido, this massive contributor to live music who we're talking to today. On top of all these other great shows that we do. EKO Studios, every year for I don't know how many years now, videotapes professionally the paper bag every year, the live show.
Yes, they do.
How many years have they been with you?
EKO, well, the Ralph and Ralph from EKO have been with the paper bag since the very first videotape, first time we videotaped, which let me see, I can tell you exactly, which would have been back in 1988.
88
was the very first time we videotaped.
No kidding.
Well, actually, we videotaped starting in 82, but we didn't have outside. I used to just go to Sam Ash and rent all of the gear, and my friends would do it. But Ralph and Ralph have been doing it since 88.
And so from 88 till now, you've got one show per year of this six-hour show recorded. You have last year's show and the year before show, which were the first 2 years you had some computer issues. You weren't able to get copies made for people to purchase.
Yeah, that's because I'm a one-man basement operation.
But how'd you handle it with your busy schedule before 2 years ago?
Well, the problem is that I'm in computer limbo.
Okay.
That I have a big old Mac computer in my basement, and then when it was time to upgrade, and I just haven't recovered. I just retired from teaching a year ago, so for 2 years prior to that, I was working as a sound man at night and a teacher during the day, pay for my kids' college, and I didn't have any time.
Okay, well, that's understandable.
Now I'm retired, and
you got a little more time on your hands.
Just last night, I spent two hours learning my new video program, and
okay.
Going through tutorials and doing little practices. So the videos from the past couple of years will be back online, back on track, forthwith.
Thank God, man, because this is such a fun thing to watch in the comfort of your own home. You got video camera guys on stage. You've got Steve up in the tower getting some video. You got Ralph with the boom down on the floor above everybody's heads of the crowd, and you get some great camera angles and some great shots of this tremendous project, and it's a lot of fun to be able to watch at home. You always word it nicely in the menu, so if you want to fast forward to different parts of the show and check out certain songs to be performed, you don't have to sit there through 6 hours to get through the last 45 minutes of a couple songs you really want to hear. You can watch the whole thing in its entirety. You can skip around, and you really put this thing. And I understand there's a lot of time and effort put into this thing to be able to give people those options that you allow when watching these great videos. So I understand, but I got to tell you, 6 years in myself, I own the first three. That from me being a part of it, and the last three I haven't been able to get, and I'm dying to get them because there's been some great performances over the past couple of years,
yeah.
As there is every year. And I look forward to you get to playing a little catch up with the computer and getting copies made again so people can purchase these things. Please share with everybody the website, by the way, so people can, A, that don't know much about the paperback and get more details, and B, contact you if they want to purchase videos from the past or future shows that you do. Where can people go?
The website is www.paperbagmusic.com, and it's a pretty funny, pretty big website. There are several hundred pages and thousands of pictures, and you can go through the history of every paper bag and who was in it, what songs we played, what the highlights were. There's a lot of history about me. You can find that picture of me playing the tonette in second grade there.
Very cool, man.
You know, if you have some time and nothing to do, you go to the paper bag website and just keep clicking and keep clicking. There's a lot of funny stuff up there.
You can also, if I'm not mistaken, go to YouTube.
Yeah, well, yeah. From the website is the easiest way to do it. There's a link for the paper bag on YouTube, and we have mostly the openings of the paper, several paper bags on YouTube, because the opening with all 70 or 80 guys on stage is usually it's loud and it's massive and it's impressive.
To say the very least. It's one of the most fun, entertaining, exciting nights you'll ever get with live music. I don't care who you are or what kind of music you're into. They do something for everybody. Such a wide variety, a versatile list of tunes and artists that you cover every single year, even though it's themed every year. You do something for everybody, and it's just a massive, massive contribution to the live music scene on Long Island. This one night per year project with some of the greatest musicians anybody will ever see worldwide, otherwise known again as the Paper Bag. Founder, creator, Mike Guido, I thank you so much for coming in, giving us a little history and background, allowing us to do some more ticket giveaways. Anything else you want to share with us before we wrap it up in here?
No, well, Mulcahy's, I want to say something nice about Mulcahy's.
Please.
Because John Murray, who owns Mulcahy's, is an awesome guy. And they take such good care of us. I don't know how it would almost be impossible to find another place to do this. They let us build the stage out 8 feet from where it.
You have this big T-shaped stage.
Yeah, well, then we have a little ego walk. You know, you need the ego walk
for the
lead vocalists. But they handle no matter. Their managers are awesome. No matter what I ask them to do, sometimes they look at me and I can see their circuit breakers all pop. But then they say okay. And they just get it done. It's an incredible place.
It really is. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And once again, paper bag number 38, Tuesday, June 30th. Come out and join us. I think we're going to get into another song or two before Mark Green, who's running a little bit late, comes in, which gives us the ability to do another pair of ticket giveaways. Should we do one or two more pair of ticket giveaways, Mike?
Go for it.
Real quick, I got to have a very special hello to a brand new listener of the Blues Warehouse out in the Queens area, Astoria, if I'm not mistaken. Amarilli, nicknamed Maddie, if I'm not mistaken, out there in Queens, listening at WUSB.FM. Thank you so much for that. It's good to have you with me this morning, tuning into the show for the very first time, and hopefully not the last time. So it's good to have you with us, Amarilli. Happy Friday to you, kiddo. And I say we do it. Let's give away another pair of tickets or two. 631-632-6901 when the music starts. Let's do something recorded from the early 60s, the BBC sessions of a band called the Yardbirds on a radio show they did back in like 1962. Little English DJ going to be sharing a little intro right into a song you're all going to recognize. Let's do it. Blues Warehouse. More tickets to the paper bag. 631-632-6901. Let's do it.